Muse, and I am a certified peer specialist, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for being here today. I'm going to be speaking this afternoon a little bit about peer support and self-help, and also touch on the certified peer specialist. I am a certified peer specialist myself. I received my training in Georgia in 2004 and my certification in 2005. I work as a peer specialist at the Consumer Initiative Center in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. It's a program of the Self-Help Connection, and I spend my day working with my peers who, like myself, are along that journey to recovery. In starting, I'd like to give maybe a bit of a definition about peer support. I'm a member of the Canadian Coalition for Alternative Mental Health Resources as well, and we came up with a definition that we're using. Our definition is, peer support is the process by which like-minded individuals with similar experiences who have traveled or are traveling the road to recovery, encourage and assist each other to continue the healing. We feel that that definition really covers the whole process of peer support and certainly touches onto the experiential knowledge that we all have, having lived with various mental illnesses over the years. One thing about the experiential knowledge is that it cannot be learned from a textbook. It cannot be learned in a classroom. Unfortunately, the only way you can learn it is to experience it. And it's a very special knowledge, and it enables peers working together to really support each other. Some of the things also with peer support, and again, this is from a policy paper that the Canadian Coalition of Alternative Mental Health Resources put out, and I should mention at this time, this was a project that was funded through the old HRDC and was sponsored by the National Network for Mental Health. I happen to be the president of the board of directors of the National Network, and I was really glad to be able to have the opportunity to work on this project. But with peer support, we feel that it allows an outlet for an individual living with mental illness to openly and honestly express the pain, suffering, and frustration that the illness has caused. And I think that's one of the most important things with peer support. We know what the pain and what the suffering is like, and we know how frustrated that we can get. Peer support also creates an atmosphere of trust between peers. And it allows for the exploration of one's inner self to discover unknown strengths. A lot of us have strengths that we never realized that we had, and sometimes we have sort of forgotten about them because of the illness. Peer support helps bring those strengths to the surface again. It is a pillar of self-help and the recovery process. And as someone working in peer support and as a certified peer specialist, I believe wholeheartedly that we all can recover from these illnesses. Peer support, as I said before, recognizes the immense power of experiential knowledge. Summed up really, I think, quite well is just simply, I've been where you are now, and I'm here for you. Some of the things that have happened or in research with areas where peer support has been taking place have some of the things that have turned up in research, rather. People who take part in peer support, you usually are looking at reduced hospitalization. Sometimes you're looking at reduced use of other services. For the individual, there's an increased knowledge and information, and also an increase in coping skills. One of the big things is increased self-esteem and confidence, self-confidence, and a sense of well-being and most importantly, of being in control. Peer support also leads to stronger social networks and social supports. One of the ways that peer support does happen quite often in the community is through self-help groups. And I've been very fortunate here in Nova Scotia for the last 6 years working with the Self-Help Connection because I've had the opportunity to see how people grow and thrive when they belong to self-help groups. Self-help groups provide emotional support and practical help in dealing with a concern common to all members. The activities of groups can vary from emotional support to information and education to projects to socializing and in some cases to advocacy. Members learn to get help, give help, and help themselves. And that's really the miracle. I like to call it the miracle of self-help. A lot of people, when they start going to a self-help group, find that they're just sitting there listening to the other people at the beginning, and maybe they'll hear some ideas that will help them along their recovery journey. But then all of a sudden, they're at a meeting when someone is discussing a particular issue that they have already faced in the past, and they find themselves giving suggestions as to how the person may be able to cope with this issue. And it's almost like a real miracle because all of a sudden, instead of just receiving help from the group, they've started giving help. And once they start doing both, then they start helping themselves. Again, there's been a lot of research around self-help groups. It's found that it empowers people. It costs less than some of the other helping services. It has a unique problem-solving approach. You'll see increased self-esteem, which often results in belonging to a group. And increased motivation comes from the group. It also helps to relieve the anxiety of the unknown through learning. It's a good source of information. Members of self-help groups tend to be information junkies, and I can really relate to that because as part of my own recovery, I've made it sort of my mission to find out everything I can about my illness. Again, it's the shared experiences which sort of bring the group together. New information is usually available faster there because getting back to the fact that people are information junkies, that a lot of times people will hear of new possible treatments, possible things that may help them, depending on what their issues are. They will learn it first at a self-help group. And we've heard many, many stories of people, particularly maybe with a new medication, who've ended up going to their doctor and said, hey, I've heard about this new medication. Do you think it might work for me? And, of course, the doctor's first reaction is, well, where did you hear about it? And, I heard it from my self-help group. So we hear of that a lot. So those are a couple of examples with peer support and self-help. Peer support, too, just can happen in the community. I love relating the story of a time when I was sitting in the lobby of a local psychiatric hospital here in Dartmouth. I was there for a meeting, and I got in there a little early, and two women came in from outside. They had obviously been out for a walk. Both of them were patients from the conversation. You could tell they were patients there at the hospital. And one woman had been there for a fair period of time, and the other had only been there for a few days. The woman who had been going out for, who had been there for quite a while, was going out to spend the day with her family. And what she was doing with the other woman was just reminding her of when lunch was going to be, who she needed to see if she had a problem, and just various things like that, making sure that this other woman would feel comfortable with her being gone. And I remember thinking at the time, I wish I could have recorded this because this is certainly self-help, or peer support, rather, in its purest form. The other thing that I would like to talk about briefly is the role of the certified peer specialist. With the certified peer specialist, it is all about peer support. It's all about peer support and recovery. But the certified peer specialist has gone and received some specialized training, training that they can use while they are working with their peers and helping them move forward with their recovery journey. The role of the certified peer specialist is, number one, to instill hope in the person. It's also one of the roles is to decrease the emotional distress and to empower the person to participate in his or her own recovery. We do not do for the people that we work with, but we do with the people that we work with. We help people identify strengths and needs that they have. We also help people use the strengths and help them find where they can get the necessary skills or resources or supports that they don't have. Some of the tools we use as certified peer specialists are our own recovery story. We also use the dissatisfaction as an avenue for change for people. And that just means looking at how dissatisfied people are with the life they have now and trying to see the benefits of working to make a change. We look at beliefs and values. For a lot of people, the idea of recovery really is almost a foreign subject to talk about. So we need to spend some time talking about recovery and how everybody has that possibility within. We spend time with our peers talking about ways of combating negative self-talk. We have found with many of us with our illness, we listen to the negative messages and we don't hear the positive messages out there. So we need to find ways of dealing with that. Almost on a daily basis, I work with people who are trying to face their fears. And we come up with plans together about how they can try things that previously maybe they were a little bit afraid to try. We do a lot of problem solving together, and please note that I said we do it together, because it is not my job to solve someone else's problem. My job is to help them find the solution to their problem. A lot of this takes a lot of listening and asking the right questions. And it's not a matter of just listening to the person, but it's actually hearing what they are saying. Everything that we do in peer support or as a certified peer specialist is around putting the person in the center. The person is in control of their recovery. We also do a lot of work around goal setting, and one of our cardinal rules is to never take anyone's dream from them. If someone's goal seems unrealistic, then it is up to that individual to find out themselves that that it may not be realistic. It is certainly not my job to point it out to someone. We use Mary Ellen Copeland's Wellness Recovery Action Plan, or WRAP, which is a very good wellness tool. It starts off with a wellness toolbox. You develop your daily maintenance plan for staying well. You look at possible triggers and what you're going to do should they occur. You look at early warning signs and develop a plan should that happen. You also look at when things are breaking down and develop a plan for that. It then goes into crisis planning, where everyone actually creates their own advanced directive. And then after that, it's the post-crisis plan. Because for so many people, after crisis, when they return home from hospital, they haven't planned for it. And so we've discovered it's a good idea to have the post-crisis plan. We certainly encourage people to get into self-help groups. And we also talk the language of recovery. Because to us, number one, we are people. I am a person. I am not my illness. And so we talk a lot about the language of recovery and talk a lot about hope. We also have to be aware of cultural competency, because we have to realize that people that we're working with from different cultures may have different beliefs and values. So that kind of briefly is a lot of what we do with the Certified Peer Specialist. We're working very hard here in Nova Scotia, and our Department of Health is looking at it too, in having peer specialists integrated within the formal system so that every person within the mental health system would have a peer specialist on their treatment team. We strongly believe that it's a position that could be, that should be a paid position, not a volunteer position, and so we're doing a lot of work with that right now. The other thing that I am doing right now, myself too, is promoting peer support, self-help and recovery, not only throughout Canada, particularly with the National Network for Mental Health, but also I have just been invited, or I'm just getting ready to go to France. I'll be there for 2 weeks, and I'll be spending the time first at a conference put on by the World Health Organization, where we will be looking at stigma and discrimination, and I'll be presenting from the peer specialist point of view how it affects the people that we're working with. But then I'm also going to have an opportunity to work with my peers in other parts of France, talking about recovery, talking about peer support, talking about self-help, and talking about the Certified Peer Specialist. So this is sort of a brief breakdown on my thoughts anyway about peer support, self-help, and the Certified Peer Specialist. So what I would like to do at this time is sort of open the door for any questions that you might have.